So I was going to preach on the lesson from John this evening, the wedding in Cana of Galilee, the what's often called the miraculous turning of water to wine. But I did wonder if we were a bit near our Christmas and New Year excesses to be hearing a sermon entitled Jesus the Party Animal. So I decided against that one. Plus, I looked back a year ago tonight, and I actually preached on that those verses. So I'd set myself a challenge of looking at Isaiah. If you've heard me preach much over the past few years, you've probably heard me say that I've been trying to move away in my speaking, and indeed in my thinking, though you wouldn't have necessarily heard that, from simplistic images of light and dark. In fact, I spent a number of bits of sermons throughout the whole of Advent and a book study throughout the whole of Advent, having something of repeated rantings about how images of light and dark have become infused with moral value, where light has been considered good and dark as bad, something which has been translated through the wonders of empire, racism, and colonialism into viewing human beings as lesser or more depending on the color of their skin. And I am very aware of the harm that colorism, racism, and binary images of dark and light as good and bad have done and continue to do. I realize we still have a very long way to go to be able to use these images of light and dark in a meaningful way, in a nuanced way, in our liturgies and in our readings, such as the long and poetic reflections from Isaiah this evening, which begin as they did this morning. It's the same reading for those of you who are aware. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It is true that light is a good thing, that it makes it possible for us to see, that eyes only work when light enters in through our lenses and is unscrambled and interpreted by our brains. It's true that light and warmth always go together, something we cling to in these colder months. It's true that light enables us to see where we're going and to keep us from stumbling. It's true that light is an image of hope for those who feel that they have been in a dark place emotionally and spiritually. Light is used repeatedly as an image in our scriptures and in liturgy, in poetry and in art and literature, to represent all of these things and more: vision, hope, warmth. And rather than just discarding such images, perhaps the reclaiming of a healthy balance of our language of light and darkness begins with us. We have a responsibility in our use of language not to fall into a lazy dualism or perpetuate colorist tropes. As we think about the way in which we speak to one another, about the liturgy that we use, about the way we listen to images of light and darkness, I think I'm just encouraging us, and in us I definitely mean myself, not to be lazy in our thinking about the language that we use, in worship, in our conversations, in the images that fuel our imaginations. Light and dark are real and distinct. They are everyday realities and powerful images that can be used, like most images, as helpful and powerful metaphors, or they can be used to harm. Like so much of our spiritual heritage, we must continue to question the value of and the values behind the images that we use, and whether they continue to serve us well, and whether the negative parts can be redeemed or need to be jettisoned. The image of light dawning is an oft-repeated metaphor for hope or for spiritual or intellectual enlightenment, and the image of resting in the mystery of divine darkness is an image of growing in faith. For me, many of the deficiencies of the way we continue to use or misuse images of light and dark are that we are just repeating images from the past without thought and without examination. And when we do use these images, let us do so with a sense of their depth, of their vivid and layered power, with a sense of purpose and a commitment to appreciate the nuances these images bring. So rather than being lazy with our language and with our thinking, rather than falling into tropes and tired binaries, let us approach our use of language, of image, of poetry, of music, of ritual and of liturgy with a sense of purpose and of intention.